Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined with Whole Tones creator Michael Terrell. We're going to get back to him in just a minute. Just want to have a couple quick announcements we want to make. The Hear the Watchman Conference, March 18th, 19th, and 20th in Dallas, Texas. You can go to hearthewatchman.com. They have tickets on sale. It's $50 off your tickets if you enter the promo code Hagman. Also available on the website. If you look on the right-hand side of the website, there's a schedule all the way to the far right, which I've seen a few people email about. And there's also, under that, a live stream option where you can order this live stream option for $29 and watch the conference from the comfort of your own home if you're unable to attend personally. And if I was unable to attend and we weren't going, this is definitely the option I would choose, as we've watched the live stream on other conferences that we've been unable to attend. But this is the best way to be there without actually being there.
And so, you know, we hope to meet so many people there, Joe. Yeah. We really do.
Promo code Hagman when purchasing your tickets. This deal is good till next Monday, as well as the live stream link on the right-hand side of the website, as well as the schedule. The schedule's updated there and ready to go.
That's right. And again, our special guest, Mr. Michael Terrell, WholeTonesAlive.com. I have mine on 8-track, folks. That's how, I mean, let me tell you, 8-track. That's the way to go. That's the technology of the future. I'm telling you. Anyway, welcome back, sir. Let the spirit, and I mean that, let the spirit take you where you want to go right now.
Oh, I know you do. That's why I love being with you guys. Just to finish that last statement, because my wife accuses me of being like a fire hose. She said, man, you stand in front of you when you're talking, and it's just like, it's this amazing God assault. And, you know, so we were talking, I just want to finish that last statement, was, I said, can you imagine if a cardinal was singing in the backyard and there was a robin in another tree, and the cardinal heard the robin's voice and said, wow, I wish I was a robin. I'm going to try to sing like the robin. The animal kingdom is smart enough to know that there's a lane that each of us have and you run in it. But we as humans have this crazy, everybody wants to be somebody else, you know, and I think it's so important that, and this is, you know, a major digression from our point, but I think it's important for someone who's listening right now is dealing with an identity crisis, that you have to realize that you were supernaturally created by God to be exactly the way that you are. And when you look in the mirror, you can't stand what you see, but you, in God's mind, you're the apple of his eye, and you have to be able to live your life, and you will live a life and not just an existence, if you can get to the point where you say, I don't want to be like anyone else in the whole world. I love how God's made me, and I praise God for who I've become. That's a beautiful thing, and this world tries to make you feel like you're egocentric if you ever say you love yourself. I'm telling you as your new friend tonight, if you don't love yourself, you won't be able to love anyone else. You have to start at home. You have to be able to see Christ in you. You have to be able to see what a miracle you are when you look in the mirror, and you have to be able to leave the home every day and be able to give that love to other people. You have to. If you're ever going to bring healing, if you're ever going to bring light, you have to be able to be someone that not only talks about Jesus but walks it out when they leave the house every day. So I don't know who that's for, but I felt God on it. We were talking about something that was really important before we left, which was the militarization of music. And I find it fascinating that on the positive side of the scale, that King David was a military man. And I love how God, in the genius of God, he gave this unbelievable key to a man that was as good with his kinnor or his harp as he was with a spear and a javelin and a sword. And I think it's such an important thing for us to realize as we go on today. And I want these guys to tell me what they want to talk about, but I just want to finish this little piece by saying this, is that I think it's imperative that we realize that as bad as things are under this drop ceiling that we experience every day, which we think Washington is really the tip-top of everything, but really if you push a little, you'll see it's just the drop ceiling, and above it is the expanse of heaven and the kingdom of God, which that government rests squarely upon the shoulders of one perfect man. And to say all that is that with all of this stuff that we deal with every single day, and it's real, and the stuff these guys report, it's real stuff, but you have to temper that every day with realizing that all that exists under man's threshold, but just above that. If you'll just open your eyes, you'll see that there's a perfect kingdom and a man who's in charge of everything, and there's only one power. There's many forces in this world, as you know, but there's only one power. Right. And in the end, the government rests upon the shoulders of that one power.
Isn't that interesting? Many forces, but only one power. That's
one absolute. Yeah, let's put it this way. If he's almighty, that doesn't leave much mighty for anyone else now, does it?
Very true. Oh, that yeah, absolutely. All right. Wow. Well, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to read some of those things that you read to me earlier, if you want me just to go and move on to the next level of what I see happening as far as the military with all of this.
Yeah, if we could continue on, just as far as you want to go with the militarization of sound,
sure,
and the sound weapons, and this is something you and I talked a little bit,
sure,
before the show on.
Yeah.
You know, we see these new sound weapons being deployed at big protests from, you know, the G8 in Pittsburgh, which was one of the big rollouts in 2008. And we know how, you know, going back to the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, you had, you know, drummers it's kind of the same thing with marching bands and football. You have this correlation between music and these war or tribal type mentalities. And we see that the government and the military are now, you know, using these new frequency technologies to dispel crowds. And how far can this weaponry go?
Well, I mean, the sky's the limit. I think it's so brilliant that you brought up that point. Me being Irish, you know, I don't have to tell many of you that the piper was one of the most feared parts of any any Celtic army, man. They'd come out with the pipes and scare the fool out of everybody long before anyone drew a sword. You know, there's such a... You love them or hate them. I love the pipes. Some people think they're shrill and ugly. I think it's heaven on earth. But, you know, again, there is that propensity for people to want to lead. And it goes back to as early as we can find in the gospel as well, but to start their army with some semblance of music. We know for a fact that King David carried his kinnor, his basically a, you know, people call it a harp, but technically a harp was a completely different type of instrument that had a fixed position in the sanctuary and was used only for times of worship. The kinnor was more in line with a guitar you strap to your back and carry with you. The kinnor was a 10-string instrument that was also known as a jubilee harp that you could actually transport with you wherever you go. And David always, I don't think there was too many times when David was within an arm's distance without his harp, that is. And Psalm, I'll never forget this, in Psalm 23, you have to think about what's really going on. You have to think about that he wrote Psalm 23 on a battlefield. One of the most peaceful psalms was written in the midst of a absolutely caustic war. And it's so funny that you can almost see, if you can open your eyes, you could see David fending off assailants with his sword and talking to God at the same time. And God says, David, lay down. And David's saying, oh, really? Right now? Are you sure about that, Lord? David, lay down. Put your sword down. Lay down. Trust me. Lay down in green pastures. Listen to the sound, the frequency of the still waters. I want to bring peace to your soul. You're freaking out right now. It's not your battle, buddy. It's mine. I got you. Lay down. Disarm yourself. Do the opposite of what you think you need to do. Lay down. I want to restore your soul, your thought, your will, your emotions. Lay down in the grass and let me fight for you, son. Let me show you how this really works. And I think that that all of these things that we see, like in HAARP in Alaska, for example, and some of these, you know, we see sudden disappearances of certain types of bees, for example, and there's no end to what you can do with frequency, because frequency was at the beginning, see? So you have to realize, first of all, like I said, the vibration of the tongue. With that vibration, you can either do what the Bible says, that you can set things on fire. You could turn the, you know, your tongue's a little, it's just a little organ, but yet it boasts of great things. It could turn the rudder of a great ship. What you say with your mouth is what becomes. You can either speak life or death. And you know what? People that have death on their mind know how to manipulate frequencies and make them do their bidding. As Joe mentioned, there is all kinds of... He asked me some questions before. I can't really say much on the air, but I can tell you that many of these weapons already exist. that are frequency-based weapons that, you know, people remember Nikola Tesla. You know, people say, how could you be a Christian and love him? I love everything that's awesome that God does and everyone that he creates. I mean, he loves everyone he creates, or John 3:16 wouldn't work. He loves the whole world, man. That's why he gave Jesus, because he was the only one that could do anything about the condition of the whole world. But he created something that the government decided could become a death ray, if you remember. Remember that? And there's frequency machines that, like a neutron bomb, that could kill someone in their bedroom without destroying the structure. It's very interesting how that works. And, you know, I think it's also indicative of when they created HAARP in Alaska and several other installations, I'm told now, it's amazing the level of security that was assembled around that gigantic space that they bought and purchased there and have set up there, and I will call it a weapon. But here's what I find fascinating once again. Yes, there is always good and evil that can be done with anything, but frequency is no different than it, because everything, what? Let's just put simple physics at rest. Everything has a frequency and everything has a resonant frequency. For example, if I'm in a certain room and I have the amplitude and the ability, I can shake that room with the music that I play. I have to find out what the resonant frequency is of that room. Now, you remember a man named Royal Rife. A lot of you guys, I know right now, I can almost hear everybody going, oh yeah, Royal Rife found the cure to cancer, and they killed him for it, and it was frequency, because Royal Rife knew what the atomic weight was of all the organs in our body, and if he could resonate it, he could bring healing to it. It's simple. And it could be, all these things could be done so simple, but then guess what happened? Big pharmaceutical would be out of a job. And they, by the way, they like to kill people that find cures that people want to give away. They like to kill people that want to give away free electricity. They like to kill people that love so hard that they don't want anything in return for the love. And that is the tension that we live with. But here's the good news. For years and years, people have always talked about, you know, the things that men do that instill fear in the hearts of men. And I've always seen in the Bible God say just the opposite. You know, I've always seen him put the impetus upon the kingdom of God and upon him. And some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. Did you ever think about the name of the Lord? Did that ever run across your grid for a minute? That it doesn't matter. Here's a great truth. It doesn't matter what language you say the word Jesus in, it still creates the same exact image in frozen water crystals and has the same power in every dialect. Isn't that amazing? It says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter if it's Sanskrit, Hindi, it doesn't matter if it's Chinese, Lebanese, Colombian, Cuban. When you say that name in any dialect, it has the same profound effect, because Jesus, I mean, God said, I have placed all domain or all divinity into the name, the frequency of the name of Jesus, and it's a fact. So we talk about weaponry? Here's some weaponry. You want to talk about HAARP? I got some HAARP for you. Book of Revelation, chapter 14. The Lamb will stand upon Mount Zion. The gospel will be restored in the last days by angelic ministry. The Son of Man will harvest the earth. Here we go. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Wrong. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters. What? I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters. Did you know that the only thing that we have physical on the earth that fills the sonic spectrum of sound, over 22 octaves of sound, guess what it is? Guess.
Water. Mm.
Come on.
Oh.
What's a big waterfall in the United States? Niagara.
Niagara Falls.
Ah!
Niagara Falls.
Put a parabolic microphone at the base of Niagara Falls, and guess what you have? The sound of many waters. Ah, all of them. So I looked, okay, and there was 144,000 of these people having their Father's name written in their forehead. Then I heard a voice from heaven, the sound of many waters, as a voice of great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. You want to talk about HAARP? Here's 144,000, but they're not who you thought they were, are they? They're some special forces, aren't they? And no, and the Bible says that nothing can withstand them on the earth. And what are they doing? They're singing and playing harps. And they sung as if it were a new song before the throne and before four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Now, you want to talk about some weaponry? Well, for every negative frequency, can you imagine the power of the positive frequency? What about 144,000 who had their voices and their harps tuned to particular frequencies? And when they sang and played, there was nothing that man had created as far as weaponry on the earth at this time that could stand before them. They were a force field of epic proportion. Out of the purity of heart, they had not defiled themselves, but they came from the earth. They were redeemed from the earth, and there was 144,000 of these worshipers, and nobody could stop them. So for everything wicked that we know about, for everything that man does, you know, everything of God's that he puts his little sticky M&M fingerprints on, there's something divine that's been a construct above this drop ceiling of humanity that we think is the tip top, which is really the downside up of the truth, which is the kingdom of God. What we find out all of a sudden that there's weaponry that comes out of the love of a father that far surpasses anything that comes out of the hatred of man, that will be unleashed on this earth right when we think it's all over. Oh, it's just really begun.
My goodness, okay. That, now that's some perspective for you folks.
Mm. There's only one power. I wish I could shout it from a rooftop. There's so many forces, but in the end, there's only one supremacy. Only one absolute, only one almighty, only one perfect. No matter how powerful these forces are that assail against us today, no matter how the wars and rumors of wars and political pundits and hatred and garbage ensues, above the din of all of man's insanity and evil, there's a beautiful sound. There's a frequency of love that comes straight from the mouth of the Father, and he declares life over all of his people. There's always that balance that with everything that we have to talk about, and we have to talk about it. I mean, yes. I mean, look at the Bible. Did Joseph talk about it? Of course he did. They all talked about it because God spoke to them and warned them. That's why there's watchmen on the wall. However, the watchman also has to decree the supremacy of God, and in the midst of 2:22, in the midst of man's insufficiency, God still remains sufficient. That's the message. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch. We have to talk about these things. We may be dealing with these things, but in the end, our Father is in control. And that's where the balance. That's the balance.
That's right. Man. Again, very profound and much needed to our audience and to us as well. I don't know. To me, this is intellectually stimulating. This is not mere. To me, it's not entertainment. It's stimulating. It's information that we need to know. And I go back to thinking about man, and of course, you know how man has really perverted things and how God's creation, but then I realize that you know we being created in God's image. I mean, our DNA has a frequency, correct?
Exactly.
I guess we could say that we communicate through prayer to God using that frequency or series of frequencies or that frequency. Help me out here. How do we?
Sure.
How does
that look at what's happening now. This is. It's just funny. I mean, right now we're being led. What a great intro. Think about this. Okay, so everybody says right now, regardless of what you do, you have to be the master of social media. But what's funny is social media is construed as communication. But in the true definition of communication, God created what? Two ears, a mouth and two eyes. Okay, so what do you actually employ when you're communicating, close quotes, on social media? Are you using your ears? No. Are you using your mouth? No. If you want to shout at somebody, you just do it in bold caps. That's not communication. That's digital communication or pseudo commission. It's as real as the friends that aren't really your friends on Facebook. They're just virtual friends. Just like you can't hug somebody on Facebook, but you can send them a virtual hug or a virtual cappuccino. We have lost the human touch in our generation, and it's killing us. We've lost the ability to do what God... Listen, if we can go back and we can be totally objective, and we can say, wow, God put two eyes in the front of my head and a mouth in the middle and two ears pointing forward to some degree in a parabolic stasis. So I guess in essence I was supposed to be facing another being that had the same equipment, and then we could exchange information. And when these frequencies are coming, exuding from my mouth, they're entering into their receivers, the ears on both sides of their head, and then it comes back and forth, and our eyes are telling each other if we're receiving understanding and how we utilize that information. But see, when we move past the place of human touch, embrace, transference of mano-a-mano, face-to-face conversation, and it's simply with a handheld device or a computer, for example, we have to do that because our society and our culture demands it. However, if we think that that's truly communicating, then we've lost the art of communication 100%. Because God, when there was none of this when God created man, and God created man to talk to each other. You know, when I talk about whole tones on the air, I know there's no, you don't have to tell me. I know that on your broadcast right now, people are being touched. But why? Because you do have to use your ears, at least, don't you? You do. You have to use your ears and sometimes your eyes to be able to get an Hagman and Hagman report. So we are using some form of, radio is still communication. However, there's nothing better in the world than the day when I get to sit down at a table with Doug and Joe over a coffee or whatever your preference might be, and we get to look in each other's eyes and we get to talk. And then you know what happens? Inevitably, all three of us are sharpened through that conversation. There will be an emotional transference. We'll probably cry. We'll have some sort of an experience because we were created to be together. Everything there is in our culture is dividing us and pulling us apart and polarizing us. And, you know, I said something, you know, a year ago on Facebook, it was like 500 hits on it. I was like, what was so profound about that? I know now. And it was this. I said, how did I put it? I was, you can't ever make sense out of nonsense. Think about it. Wait for it. Because it was never sense at the beginning. It's nonsense. It doesn't possess sense. And what's driving our culture crazy, your friends, my friends, listening audiences, people, you're trying to make sense out of nonsense, and it drives you nuts because you weren't brought up this way. Your morals say no. Everything about you is looking at a country that's working contrapuntal to everything you ever believed or ever thought. It's negative to everything. And then you feel like for a while that you're going crazy until you realize, no, it's nonsense. All of it's nonsense, and you're trying to make it work somehow, but it will never work because it never had sense at the beginning. Nonsense.
Very well put. Yeah. You know, and I like what you said specifically too about the fellowship. You know, it seems like right now the technology of the watchers or the watchmen or watchmen, mm-hmm. the technology of the old gods, small g, of course, is coming back, and now, I mean, you know, we are being relegated to communicate with our thumbs in 140 characters or less, or if you're really challenged just by mere pictures. Apparently, there's a program, I don't know whatever it's called, but what are we doing to ourselves? But yet when we meet, and just like the conference in Dallas, when we meet folks who are going, and there's something special about being in the room with whether it be you or us or not us, but like Pastor Langford, or many of the people there, the bonds that are formed by the interaction are so important. And that's why on this program we talk about the effect of that, well, the spiritual effect of that, but I mean, it's more than the human effect. It touches your heart, your very essence, you know. And boy, that's why I think the music that you've created does. I mean, it touches us. It's just fantastic. Wow, you know. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, something you said earlier, I think, is important too. Now that we're in our second hour, is that, you know, some of those things that I think, like, when you look at some of these surveys that come in, and one thing I'll say about our Whole Tones customers, I'm just flat out, again, this isn't fluff, I have the best customers in the world. If you saw our returns, you wouldn't even believe it. It's probably less than 1%. And everyone always writes, and they're always open to doing surveys, and they always want to. But some of the things people say helps us to call information so we can educate people to some degree. Again, like anything, it doesn't matter what it is. You have to be careful with certain things that you say, because you can't say that it's going to be the same for every single person. People ask you, well, would this heal my glaucoma? Well, I don't know. Try it. Try the sample. So many people have gotten healed listening to the samples and never bought it, too. I thought that was hysterical, and then later on went back and bought it because it did something. But, you know, we get people that write stuff, and it boggles my mind, things that they say. But the one thing, believe it or not, number one thing is exactly what you said, Doug. Peace when you're ready to blow a gasket, and at nighttime if you have insomnia. Or I have one lady that wrote me, said she was taking it's a drug that helps you sleep. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it, Ambien. Thank you.
Yes.
Ambien.
Yes.
And and she couldn't sleep on Ambien and was taking all this stuff. And she said, I got Whole Tones, and I put in the first disc, and she said, I made it about 5 minutes into it, and I slept 9 hours, and I'm doing that every night. That's the kind of stuff that makes me want to keep going, is when you get people that are, or some of our wonderful soldiers that come back from tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they've, you know, they live in a foxhole, or they live in some burned out building, and they get insomnia or shell shock, they come back with PTSD, can't sleep at all. Their wife buys them Whole Tones, and I get these gut-wrenching, tearful, wonderful, you know, testimonials. My husband's been sleeping 9 hours a day. He told me he loved me for the first time in a year last night. He's hugging my children. He's coming back. You know, I mean, these kind of things, if I heard one of these in a year, I would feel that what I did was exciting. But I hear, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 a day, every morning over coffee's like Christmas morning, because people's lives are being changed by seven frequencies with music. Like I said before, the music is just a spoonful of sugar. The medicine is the frequency. And God is the one that imbues the frequency. So he gets all of the glory. People said, well, how come you always leave God out? It's like, me? When did I leave God out of anything? I mean, come on. That's what I mean about people, though. They're always looking for something. You know, I say, like, if you're looking for something to make me mortal, I can give you a whole bunch of information. I'm very mortal, very normal. I'm not, you know, I'm not that big a deal. However, God in me, oh, that's the power. I can do anything with Him. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Well, Michael, I mean, take us where, we've got the remaining 20-25 minutes together.
Okay.
And there's just so much information that, you know, that we can cover. But what's on your heart right now? I mean, given the climate today of the political situation,
sure,
given the climate of the racial,
sure,
I mean, look, wow, you know, people just walk out your door and while there's a beauty there, of course, with the flowers and trees or snow, even if, you know, whatever, but there's a lot of strife and a lot of things taking place. So, I mean, what's on your heart as the man behind Whole Tones?
Wow, what a beautiful question. I can tell you that it breaks my heart, because I've seen people that I know on Facebook turn against their friends that I know that they're friends because of who they've chosen for their political candidate. Or let's just be straight honest with our listeners today. Washington has a God-shaped hole in it, and there's not a man or woman in the world that can fill that hole. Just deal with that, first of all. There's nobody in the world that's going to be able to walk into the Oval Office and fix this gigantic chasm of indifference and racism. And I mean, I, for one, I grew up in the midst of unbelievable racism in the South in the 60s, and I thought that was done. I thought as a culture we surpassed it and moved on with that, and that everybody could love each other and not be pointing at organic parts of us. I mean, whether you have long hair, short hair, black, yellow, green, white, whatever, that would, I mean, you know what it's as bad as? Did you ever read any of the Dr. Seuss stuff, the star-bellied Sneetch and the regular-bellied Sneetch? That's how low we've digressed, is that we literally look at, you know, skin color as changing a person for some reason because of their paint job, or we've just lost it. And like I said, there's not, I mean, I obviously have a choice. Nobody knows who it is, but I have a choice of one particular person. But that doesn't mean that I believe that this person is some kind of iconic political messiah that's going to come in and fix everything wrong. There's been a lot done through several administrations that have put us in a place of great jeopardy as a nation. Let's just be straight. And I don't know actually what it will take to fix, if it can even be fixed. However, I do know this, that the Bible's very clear. It said there's been a peace afforded for all men, yet few will enter into it. I've never seen a time in my short lifespan, guys, where that's more appropriate than right now. And the word actually in Hebrew means chuppah, or a place of a canopy or a covering that you can come under where there's peace. One of his names is Jehovah Shalom. We need peace in our country so bad right now. We need to know that with the failure of man, that God never suffers an iota, that he is not a failure in any way, nor is he capable of failure. And with all this stuff that's coming, the most important thing of all is not who the next, you know, person is. In, we always make that be the summum bonum of all life, whoever's the next person that wins. That isn't true. What is the most important thing is how you process this information and what you do with it, how you deal with it with your home, in your family, what you tell your children, how you treat your wife, how your wife explains this to your husband. I watched my wife fall apart in 2008 over an election. And you know what? I watched the body of Christ fall apart. And guess what my job was the day after the election? To go on the road for a year and speak life into churches because people thought that, you know, the sky was falling, Henny Penn, it's the end of the world. Yeah, this last 2 years, I mean, last 8 years through two terms of this administration has been really, really hard. But you know what? God has taken care of us through all of it. As ugly and as horrible as it is, we all ate today. We can still love each other today. Nothing can stop us praying for each other today. And so I guess my point is, in the midst of all of this, is that if you give up, it's over. Just forget it. If you give up on your dream, what if I gave up on whole tones? Do you know how many years I was holding this? 18, to be exact. Do you know how many times people said, when are you going to birth that baby? Finally, a friend just looked me in the eye at the right time and said, you know, you're holding this back from the whole world. Because I was afraid to release it. I thought everybody would hate me and think I was crazy and think I was nuts. And I had no idea it would be embraced by so many wonderful people and that the church would understand, because of, you know, almost 30 years in the ministry and integrity, that they would understand if I was bringing this thing out right now that there was actually really something to it, and that I would never bring out something that wasn't God, or give credit to something that he created versus the creator himself. So what would I do right now in our last few minutes? I'd speak peace over every single person that's listening tonight. That's what I would do. And I would tell you, listen, you know, I don't know who's going to win the election. And, you know, and like I said, I have a choice, you have a choice. But ultimately, there's an administration that has never changed since the beginning and the foundation of this world. And I have to believe that if everything that I stand for is true, that nothing has ever come into my life that hasn't moved through that giant hand of my Father first. So I have to temper all of this stuff and everything we talk about, everything that Joe and Doug talk about that I totally understand. We have to talk about it, but in the same time, if I thought that a man could destroy everything, I'd be a faithless human being. So ultimately, guys, I got to tell you one thing. When you go to bed tonight, remember that there's a sky above a sky. There's a world above the world. Like Horton hears the Who. There's another place from here where God reigns supreme. And it won't be too long before that same God that reigns supreme above that drop ceiling also is found again in the hearts of man underneath that drop ceiling again. I hope it doesn't have to get as dark as we think it's going to before people wake up. But ultimately, I can tell you this, that if you understand there's one power and many forces, forces are powerful, but the powers trump all of the forces. And so, can I?
Well, that's true.
Would I be allowed to pray? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
We've never turned anyone down for that.
Well, Lord, look at our country. Look at us. Have mercy on us. We thank you for loving us. When we're not faithful, you remain faithful to 1,000 generations. I'm thankful so much for my friends tonight. I ask you to bless everything that Joe and Doug touch. I ask you to bless this amazing Watchman Conference. Pray that everything goes without a hitch and it's smooth and it's packed and the truth prevails. Lord, we pray for our country that's fractured and factioned over this election. And ultimately, God, the affairs of men, you leave us sometimes to our own devices to make the choices that we make. Ultimately, I ask this, Lord, that goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our life, and that I pray, God, for mercy for our nation, and that you would do something that none of us expect, that turn the tables on wickedness in our lifetime, in our days, in our time. I pray, God, that you would continually release your spirit of revelation upon our generation to give so many witty ideas and wise inventions to men and women around our country to create things that can offset evil and bring life and love and peace to an otherwise tumultuous nation that we live in. And ultimately, God, I just thank you so much for trusting me with these seven little frequencies, and I pray that you would take them to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. I mean, wow, thank you. Thank you for that. We need that.
We need each other.
We do.
We really do. And we need, you know what, the funny thing is when I was a youth pastor, I remember there was a season, I won't mention when it was around 9/11, and everybody was disoriented, and rightly so, and all these kids thought they were the only ones, and I took them to this giant Teen Mania youth conference, and there was 35,000 kids. And when we got in there, they all started crying. I said, "What are you feeling?" I said, "God, we're not alone. There's so many of us." We forget that, friends. We forget how many of us. We're mighty. We're many. We're not some little, you know, we're not the one percenters, as people in the media would try to make us, you know, the people that clutch to God's guns and country. There's many of us, and we're mighty, and we cannot forget that ever. And it's just sometimes we have to be reminded that we're not some teeny little minority off in the cut, that we are the people, and we are the mass. And then there's other people that don't think the way they do, and they want to dominate and lead and use manipulation to do so. And in the words of Mother Teresa, when people are unreasonable and frustrating and do all manners of evil, love them anyway. That's my go-to. I don't know what else to do.
That's it, I think. I mean, what else is there to do? I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, we have many options, but none so great as that, I suppose.
Absolutely.
You know, wow. Numerous questions from listeners wanting to ask you.
Sure.
Many things. We're not going to have time. I'm going to forward many of these to you in written form. But you had mentioned something, and I just found that I can relate to this, what you said. 18 years is your project. You held on to it for 18 years, or for whatever reason, you didn't release it for that length of time.
Thank God.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, exactly. Thank God, because I truly have seen this work in what we are doing. It's almost as if we have plans. Okay, we're going to, for example, we're going to upgrade the studio, and it might be 2012. Okay, we're going to upgrade the studio. We make plans, and something happens. Can't do it. Something else happens. And it's just one thing after another. Pretty soon, everything we have tried to do, thinking that this was the right thing to do, has been thwarted. And then all of a sudden, we have people who blessed us. We have people who helped us. All of a sudden, doors opened, and not just a small, you know, upgrade, but a large upgrade. I guess what I'm saying to you is, you know, there is a time. God's got his hand on the throttle. To me, you know, and I think when it's the right time, and this goes for everyone listening. Maybe if you're a listener and you're thinking about building that garage or something, or remodeling your house, or getting married, or whatever, you know, I mean, you'll know, and I think things will fall into place. Is that kind of what you went through?
That's exactly what happened, and I think the big thing was is that there's one adjustment that made all the difference, and unfortunately, it took me 50 years to figure it out. God has the perfect plan. You hear that sounds trite, but this part doesn't. So get out of his way. I didn't know how to get out of God's way. I was like a speed bump in the midst of my own destiny. And so I can say with all honesty, if Whole Tones would have come out a year before it did, I think it would have fell on deaf ears, and I think I would have taken so much assault from Christians and Cretans alike. Instead, it was right on time. And so will everything that you guys do as well. I mean, if you wait for him, you can't miss him. If you run, you might outrun him. And it's taken me 50 years plus to learn that his ways really aren't my ways. And all I have to do for miracles to happen is get out of his way and let him be God. And stop thinking I know how he's going to do stuff, and everything gets done. And then I just sit back and giggle and go, man, if I would have known this the first half of my life, I would have been golden.
Exactly. And isn't that the way for all of us? And getting out of, and that's just it, you know, I mean, getting out of God's way, that's something, as a guy, you know, me, I'm thick-headed, and a lot of times it takes me a few bumps to the head, excuse me, a few bumps to the head to really understand.
And
that's, I think that's most of us, but the joy and the fruit that comes from those endeavors when you do it on God's timetable as opposed to yours, it's just exponentially more.
It's so night and day.
Very much so.
I'll never do it the old way again. Everybody said, what are you going to do from now on, you know, when you go back in the studio? Well, we've been in twice, and I do it that way. I'm never going back to the old way. I get in the studio, and I cry a lot, and I wait for the wind. I wait for the river. It comes for me, and the end is the end. I write it out until the end, and then I sit there, and I go, I cannot believe that got recorded. Where did that come from? Instead of already having it written and throwing music to everybody, you know.
We've got a couple of emails here. One in particular, if I may just read this, because I think this is pretty prescient for the time. This is from a woman who lives alone, and basically, it's a pretty long email, but her world's falling apart around her. She's finding herself alone, but you know, she said, "Well, how do I start?" Meaning, is there a regimen that you have with respect to Whole Tones? You just throw in a CD and just listen, or is there some sort of a planned regimen? And if so, where can I find this out?
Awesome. Well, actually, in the book itself that comes with it, it explains that the open door is exactly that, which is, you know, for those that don't know, it's the first disc. It's the garnet colored disc. It comes in your set. It's 396 hertz. And the reason I always say start with that is the open door is that whenever you're using frequencies, there's an opening frequency. And when I say opening, it means, you know, whether it's church, maybe, you know, have you ever, like, gotten in a fight with your spouse and then had to go right into the back door of the church? You feel like such a hypocrite. And you go sit down and everybody's raising their hands during worship and you're kind of going, man, I don't even deserve to be sitting here. Of course you have. Well, those feelings of shame and guilt and unworthiness melt away when you listen to that frequency. And then after that one, then you're open to the other six that have specific uses. So in other words, what I'm saying is sometimes you just have to get an adjustment. You need an adjustment. You don't feel worthy. You feel guilty. You feel stupid. Whatever it is, it's an impediment for you to receive anything from God, because you become inside. You think about all your unworthiness, and it's like, listen, you're worthy. God says so. He was ready to heal you. But 396 deals with all of that, those gymnastics in your brain that we all trip ourselves up with, like, I can't believe I just fought with my wife and now I'm in church. It's like, yep, welcome to the human race, you know?
Exactly.
Build a bridge and get over it. Move on. And that's kind of like what 396 does. It kind of gets you to an open playing field so you can feel God's love again instead of feeling like a moron. That's kind of what it's all about, man.
I understand.
Yeah. So I say to tell her, I would say start with that one first, and then... And then, you know, when she reads the book, she'll know how each disc works. For someone that's in that position, for me, I would listen to 396 first, and then I would go to, like, you know, 741 or 852, where you just feel the glory of God there. I would go to the place where you can get to the place where you get over yourself and you forgive yourself, and then I would go straight for, you know, just that feeling of God with you, Emmanuel, that feeling of his presence and being accepted and knowing Amen. That God loves you. That's a big deal. Especially if you're alone, because you don't know that anybody cares. You know, if God shows up on the scene, you're not alone anymore.
We're really never alone as long. I mean, you know, that's one thing. You could be alone, but you're not alone. You could be by yourself, but you're not alone. You know, so that's marvelous. Again, so many questions, so little time. I do want to slip in a kind of a question that's off of the. Off of the tone and tenor that we're on, but Nancy D wrote this, and this is something we touched on earlier. Do you believe that the rock and roll that we had, and we have even, was created as some sort of a weapon of mind control? And I think I know your answer, but kind of an interesting, you know, twist with the mind control aspect of it.
Well, I think it's really interesting. When you look at the type of music, a lot of people, they're really quick to, because there's connotations of how they're, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, right? There's this attachment that we have with a lot of what happened in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the advent of rock and roll. I will say that it's not as much genre as it is frequency, and once again, a particular type of music can adhere to the sensual or the physical part of human beings. And so, do I think that rock and roll is inherently evil? No, I do not. However, let me also, and I don't believe that it was created per se for that. I don't believe that there was that intelligence behind it, that I think really one of the first, even though they weren't the first, were the Beatles, and they called it the British Invasion, and a lot of people looked at it as it might have been a demonic assault. I would say more than anything else, regardless of its rap or regardless of what the style of music is, if it works only on a particular part of the human body, then depending on your interpretation will depend on your reaction towards that type of frequency. So, again, I think that's a fantastic question. Being someone that played a lot of rock and roll, too, I can say that there was a lot of attachment to that lifestyle that comes with it that's very interesting. But, again, it goes back to what? The sensual or the physical. And then you look at love, and you look at three types of love, right? You look at the physical type of love, you look at the emotional or the soulish type of love, and then you look at what the Bible calls the agape or the selfless, you know, the perfect love of God. They're all three facets of love, but only one of them is perfect. And I think there's a lot of things that attach to that sensuality of man, and I think that unfortunately there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of things that are connected to that, including drug use and a lot of other things.
Very interesting and very well said. Now, we've got a listener, and this is a question I never really gave any consideration to. A listener, Melinda W., thanks for your question. She's right now, shall we say, stereo challenged. Okay.
Okay.
She said, I've used other entertainment music for healing, and it's had to be listened to in stereo to work. Is that the case? Must whole tones be used in stereo in order to really have the effect intended?
Now, this is a great question, and I'm so glad it was asked. Listen, I don't use binaural beats with whole tones. And binaural beats basically is two different frequencies going on in each side of the speaker, which has to be stereophonic, i.e., one side, it supposedly affects one side of the brain. And what I've noticed is that binaural beats can affect people with epilepsy and strokes and certain disorders, including PTSD, in a massively negative way. So therefore, whole tones does not need to be listened to in stereo. In fact, it does not need to be listen to with headphones either, because the bulk of whole tones was designed to work on a cellular level. I would say 10% of the audio is actually dependent upon your hearing, and 90% of your body actually reacting to it on a cellular level. So it's more of a therapy than it is a music in the form of entertainment. So absolutely not, you would not have to listen to it in stereo to receive 100% benefit from it.
Wow. Now I learned something there. And to emphasize that, 90% on a cellular level, but I guess that makes sense. I mean,
sure.
And you might say, hey, Doug, you know, what do you think we've been talking about, for crying out loud? But to hear that said, all right. Now,
well, let's add one short thing to that. I don't know if you read that. You guys are way ahead of me as far as the newest stuff, but there was an Australian scientist that found a way to begin inoculations by using frequency instead of a needle point. There's now a new turntable that has a laser point instead of a needle. We're moving into a whole new dimension of frequency, and so it's not even slightly abnormal to me, with all my studies of thinking of introduction of certain things vis-a-vis frequency versus, you know, structure. And so when you think about something affecting you on a cellular level, once again, if you are a child and your father tells you every day of the 18 years you're in that house, son, I love you, I'm so blessed God gave you to me, there's nothing in the world you can't do, that man is going to be a success. I'm telling you. He's infused with nothing but his father's voice telling him that he can't lose. The opposite is also true. If you're brought up in a home where your father tells you you're a deadbeat and a bum, you're never going to amount to anything, you're going to be a deadbeat and a bum, and you're never going to amount to anything. It's very powerful, and it affects you on a cellular level.
You're exactly right. So, okay. Well, we've got only about a minute and a half left, which I can't believe. I mean, this time it's just flown by. Go ahead and tell people, you know, where they can get
sure
whole tones, and you know, how to do it. Just go for it. Take us
sure.
out.
Sure. Well, the URL every time that I'm with my friends, every time that I'm with Hagman and Hagman, is wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. And when you go on the website, there's a myriad of free information. You know, that's how we roll. There's lots of videos. There's the one thing you'll love, if you go to the very top of the loading page, you'll see testimonials. Read those. Tap on that and go and look at all. Look at how it affects your dogs and cats. That's one of my favorite things. It affects animals like crazy. Your dog has separation anxiety, goes nuts when you leave and nuts when you get home. Leave whole tones playing while you're gone, and the dog doesn't even realize you went anywhere. Awesome. My dog's totally a different dog. Simply leaving the tones on while I'm gone, I come back, and there's a happy puppy that's not freaked out anymore. So read the testimonials. Go to the free samples. There's tons of free samples on there. You can listen to the music, and you can discern it yourself if you think it's something that would be good for you. Also, along with that is the entire story of how the Lord gave me whole tones, and all the ways that you can order the different things that have been created in the last year. So, again, it's wholetoneslive.com. Everything you need to know about whole tones, for the most part, is there. The guys at Barton Publishing have done a fantastic job to get the information to the world and to make it very plain, and they helped me tell my story. So please go to wholetoneslive.com.
Michael, you've been a wonderful, wonderful guest. You're a wonderful friend, and you've got a fantastic, fantastic product. I just bless you and thank you for your time tonight. Thank you so much for your information.
Man, I love every minute with you guys, and I really pray the conferences just knock it out of the park, and hopefully I'll be able to get to one of these before long and have a beautiful week.
We're going to drag you to one pretty soon.
Okay.
All right, brother.
It's been a pleasure, Michael. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with Stan Dale.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.